Hey everyone, my name is Keaton. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here. We want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you're blessed by today's message.
Now you're wondering what your straw sticks were for, right? Well, I'm going to leave this here because that will come in handy later. Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? I hope well. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We are starting our new series. We started a new series last week called Let Us, right? And it's really the call in Hebrews that calls God's people to join together and hear the voice of God and move in a certain direction. And last week, I laid down these foundational questions. We said this is going to be a key element of what we walk through as we engage with Hebrews. The first question is what is God calling us, His children, believers, to do together? Hebrews answers this question in many let us statements. The other question is this, how am I personally responding to the very voice of God's Son? We looked at Hebrews chapter 1, really the introduction to the book, and it speaks of how God spoke in many ways long ago through prophets. But today, in the last days, Hebrews chapter 1 says God now speaks through His Son. And so every person in this room, whether you're watching online or you're watching later, listen, God is in fact trying to speak to you through who His Son is, okay? And so that is foundational as we walk through Hebrews and understanding this, because as we engage with this question, these two questions, the reality is one is not separate from the other. How God speaks to you personally will directly affect how you engage with the rest of us, right? And so you can't separate those two questions. They go hand in hand. And last week, we looked at very clearly the let us statement of let us draw near and let us hold fast. Hebrews speaks of this in the first few verses before in chapters 10, verses 22 through 23. Let us draw near and let us hold fast. See, I want you to understand this. You cannot hold fast to something you have not drawn near to. This is why that first question or that second question, how am I personally responding to the voice of God, to the voice of His Son, is so critical for us to understand in the us part of it. If you have not drawn near to God, you have nothing to hold fast to. And that's important for us all to evaluate in our life, in our relationship with Jesus and who He is. See, you cannot hold fast to a confession that you've never actually made. You cannot persevere in a faith that you have actually not possessed. This is important. This is foundational. This is understanding the us in the let us statement. This is so important for us to grasp, and why that question is so important for us individually to come with an understanding and a truth. Hebrews 10, verse 19, this is where we started last week. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place of the blood of Jesus. What's important, and I just got to reiterate this foundation, our confidence in our faith does not come from us being good people. That's not where our confidence comes from. Now, I hope we are good people. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I hope we are good people, but that's not where our confidence comes from. Our confidence does not come in the fact that we grew up in the church. Our confidence doesn't come from the fact that we were baptized. I mean, I hope these things are true in your life, that you are have a church that you grew up in, that you saw good examples of what it means to follow Christ. I hope you are, in fact, one that has made a testimony outwardly to the body to say, hey, listen, I'm choosing to follow Jesus in baptism. I hope all of these things. This is not where our confidence lies. It isn't because our confidence isn't because we serve somewhere in a church organization. It isn't in how much we know the Bible. That verse 19, lays it so very clear. We draw near to Jesus because Jesus opened the way through his blood. And that is where our confidence lies. That is why we see him as our mediator. This is why we can rest in confidence in the finished work that Christ accomplished for each and every one of us. So the question that I really want before we really move further in the Let Us series is, man, evaluate this question. I'm not trying to get people to question whether they know Jesus or not, but man, if you're in here and you don't know Jesus, you really need to have this question confronted to you. Have I actually drawn near to God through Jesus? See, the good news is not, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to be better. The good news, the gospel, is really simply this. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a grave and he rose again. And now he is offering forgiveness and reconciliation and redemption with God through repentance and belief in his finished work. That is the gospel. Very simply put. What's really interesting is that this author speaks of, as we draw near to God, we hold fast to this confession. It's fascinating how the author has spent almost 10 chapters pointing us to who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. He gives us this call to draw near and to hold fast. And just as much as he has pointed our eyes and our attention to who Christ is, the next sentence takes our eyes from who Jesus is and what he has done, and he points us to look at the people sitting around us. Look at this. It says this, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. I like the NKJV structure. It says the same thing, but it's just structured in the sentence just a little different. And I like this, the way it's set up in the NKJV. It says this, and let us consider one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So today, we're going to evaluate what it means to consider one another. See, if we are examining that question, man, how am I responding to his son or to the voice of his son? Today we're going to look at just a little bit of a deeper layer than that. Not only do I want you to consider his son and what he's saying to you and what your relationship with him looks like and is, but also I want you to consider, how am I responding to his people? See, all of Hebrews speaks of this nature that God created in us. And so because he has created in us, there is a level of responsibility we must have for one another. And so that's what we're going to look at. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get into the text. Lord, thank you so much for this time we have to gather today. Lord, help my mind to stay focused. My brain is a little scattered this morning. I trust that you will lead through your Spirit. And Lord, help me to walk through these texts with the words that you have for every single person in this room, those who may be watching online, Lord. Lord, do what only you can do. Move through this body. Move in the hearts of people. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's look at verse 24. We're going to read 24 and 25. This is going to be our main text for today. We've read verse 24 already. I'll just read it again. He says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The very first "let us" statement in here is "let us consider." That word "consider" is a unique word. Honestly, it's something we all understand. It's not super complex. We do it actually all the time, maybe knowingly or unknowingly. Listen, if you're going to buy a new house, you consider a few things, don't you? Where it's located, the price, does it have good school district? Is there enough repairs in there that it's worth me putting the work or effort into it? I've always bought fixer-uppers, okay? So I always consider, is the work in this house worth the efforts? Listen, if home ownership isn't your deal, every single one of us has to have a job. In a job, you consider a few things. The first and most obvious is the pay, I hope, right? That's the most obvious thing you would consider. Man, am I willing to go to work for this many hours at this pay? But maybe there's other things you consider, like benefits, how many hours of work it's going to require. These are all things that we consider regularly over and over. Man, we're coming to the end of summer. I know, it's sad. It's crazy how fast it's gone. But in summer, oftentimes, we will take vacations. Listen, when we go on vacation, we do a lot of considering. Maybe you don't, but I think at least the destination is a consideration. And what you're going to pack is a consideration. No one's taken a parka to the beach. At least I hope not. Right? You consider these things. Many of us will spend 30 minutes considering a product on Amazon that's $20, evaluating whether you're getting the best deal or not. Maybe that's just me and that's my confession. But we do considering a lot, especially about the things that matter to us. Here, as we are looking what this author is telling us to consider, he's telling us to consider one another, to think about one another, to pay attention to one another, to be intentional about engagement with one another. Man, this word "considers" carries this idea of purposeful thought and intentionality and attention. So here's something I want you to consider. What would change as a body, as a church, if we considered the people we gathered with before we even arrived? What would that look like? Can you imagine on a Sunday morning, before you walk through the doors, before you see anybody, you have taken thought and considered those that you gather with? Maybe you would think about someone you haven't seen in a while. You go, man, I haven't seen so-and-so. I should reach out. Maybe you would consider, man, I heard something was going on in their life. Maybe I can come up to them and pray with them or encourage them in some way or see if there's something I can do to help. Maybe that would involve coming and considering who you sit next to and go, man, you know, I don't really know that person very well. Maybe I should take them out for lunch or grab a cup of coffee with them. Can you imagine if we do what Hebrews is calling us to do, to consider one another? You know, oftentimes when we come to church, and I recognize this is part of how we do church in the Western world. We often come with a mentality of, man, did I like the song? Was the temperature perfect? I'm not trying to be critical, But oftentimes this is our mentality, right? We come into church thinking about, man, did anybody notice me? And listen, these aren't bad things. I want you to be comfortable. I want you to be noticed. But this text, the text that we're walking through, what it's showing us, what it's pointing us to think about and consider is less about, man, did someone encourage me? And more about, who am I encouraging? Consider one another. That flips the whole dynamic sometimes of how we do church. Instead of saying, man, did somebody notice me? The question that Hebrews is trying to get us to consider and evaluate in our own life is, who did I notice? Consider one another. See, we know how to consider the things that matter to us. Honestly, I think Hebrews is trying to get us to pay attention to the people that matter to God. And have we taken time to consider that? The text says, consider. Let us consider one another. See, here's the reality. We can't just come to church. We can't just arrive. We can't just sit down, listen, and leave. We're ignoring what Hebrews is trying to help us understand, that we are called as God's people, His children, to consider one another. The command is not let us attend. Hebrews 10 doesn't say, hey, let us attend church together. No, he says, let us consider one another. And here's the cool part. This is what's wonderful. It's telling us not just to consider one another, but it gives us the purpose behind the consideration. Look at what it says. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. See, this consideration has a very intentional purpose. We're not called just to notice people and make people feel good. That's not what the call is. The call is to move them toward something. That word, stir up, man, this is a strong, strong word in the original language. It's tied to and carries the idea of provocation, provoking somebody, stimulating, moving, or pressuring, or pushing towards an action. There is a negative form to this, and maybe this is one of the ways we are more familiar with this word. I'll use the word provocation or provoking. How many of you have been provoked to anger? I think every parent should raise their hand in the room, okay? I mean, that's just the truth, okay? Right? Or provoked being irritated. We understand it in the negative sense, but here the passage gives us this stirring up, this provoking to something that is not negative. It is good, to love and to good works. Honestly, this is where the illustration that I have in mind to kind of show this. You should have received a stir stick coming into this gathering. In front of me, I'm going to do the best I can. I was thinking about bringing somebody else up here to demonstrate this for me, but I figured it would be a cruel, cruel joke if I did this. I have 2 cups of coffee. I don't know if you're a coffee person or not, but we have a coffee, I don't know what you would call it, cafe. Hopefully you get coffee in the morning when you come, or you've got tea. There are 2 types of ingredients we often put in coffee. Anybody want to guess what that is? Cream and sugar. Now, I understand not everybody likes cream and sugar in their coffee. That's okay. For the illustrative purpose today, we're going to use cream and sugar. And I have 2 cups that look like cream. And I have 2 cups that look like sugar. I'm going to tell you right now, one of these is sugar, one of these is salt. One of these creams is genuine cream. The other is vinegar with a little bit of milk. Who wants to be my guinea pig? Let's get some. See, I can take cream. Here's a cup. I can put that in there. I'm going to do the same for the other. Okay? That one looks really gross. I already know which one. Which one is not real cream? That was all chunky as it went in. It did not look good, guys. Put the sugar in there. That's awesome. We put the salt, I think. I'm going to bet. And then we have our stir stick here, right? And what do? This is very normal. We do this all the time. We stir it up to make sure it's nice and mixed in really good. Some of you are dying. I'm not drinking that one. Not a chance. The milk is just clumpy. I'm not drinking it. I already know. But hey, listen, the good cup of coffee is fantastic, right? Some of us would even say that, listen, you took a bitter cup of coffee by adding cream and sugar in it, and you made it taste sweet and wonderful. Now, if anybody really wants to volunteer and drink this, it looks really gross. I can tell you that by adding those ingredients, it did not make that cup of coffee any better. It still requires this stir stick. This is really interesting. Maybe if I mix it up, it'll taste better. Maybe if I mix it up a little bit better. Nope, still looks gross. Here's the reality, as we're looking at this illustration, right, as we see the example laid out before us, the reality is this: every single one of us is stirring something into the body. Every single one of us, every conversation, when you're walking into the lobby, every text message you send out to the church, to your friends, to those that you do church with, every ride home, after the gathering, every conversation, you are stirring something into the body. And so the question that I want you to consider is this: what is it that you are stirring into the body? Some people will stir encouragement, grace, hope, truth. They will be stirring in generosity, faithfulness, and service. But sometimes, like the salt and the vinegar, we can also stir in complaining, gossip. We can stir in our bitterness. We can stir in our criticism, our discouragement, our division. Now listen, I'm not saying if you're discouraged, don't talk to anybody about it. That's not what I'm saying. The question I want you to consider, and this is why I gave you a stir stick, hopefully you'll put it in this text and you'll use it as a bookmark, or it'll be a reminder for you to ask yourself, hey, what am I stirring into the body? See, the reality is this. The scripture is telling us here, stir one another, and it tells us what we are called to stir in. That is the love and good works. Love and good works. Being faithful, being obedient, being Christ-like. This element of encouraging one another speaks of it in verse 25 there. It's more than just making somebody feel better. See, biblical encouragement, yes, it is sometimes very comforting. But it is also a celebration. Biblical encouragement is getting excited when someone else is excited. Hey, I learned this new thing in the scripture. Can I share it with you? And when you hear someone walking in that faith and walking in that growth, you go, man, that's awesome. Let's celebrate. Let's get excited about what God's doing in your life. Amen. Sometimes biblical encouragement is, man, don't quit. I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle right now. Don't quit. Don't give up. Do you know what God's word says? And it's grabbing the scripture and opening it and reminding it, look at God's word says this to you, that you are important, that you are valued, that you have purpose in His family. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lose sight of hope. These are the things that scriptures often, sometimes biblical encouragement is just sitting with someone. Maybe you see somebody sitting by themselves. I get it. Socially, that's awkward. I'm going to go sit up to somebody I don't know and just sit with them. Maybe that's all they need. Maybe it's saying, hey, listen, I want you to remember sharing a story in your own life, the way God has moved in your life. Hey, I want you to know God is faithful. You may be walking in a road and you're like, man, I don't understand where God's taking me or why he's taking me down this road, but maybe you need to hear from someone else that's already walked that road and say, hey, when I was walking through that road, I heard and I felt this confusion. But by the time I got through it, listen, I could see the goodness of God so clearly. It was so wonderful. And it's just a word of encouragement to say, hey, I've walked through hard things in my life. Here's the deal. Don't quit. Don't give up. God is still faithful. So what are you stirring up? When people leave your presence, do they feel more encouraged to follow Jesus? Maybe they feel more inclined to love someone they wouldn't have loved before. I know we're doing Join the Team. You saw it on all the band's shirts. Maybe after they leave your presence, they're excited to serve. I know that sounds crazy. And I'm not just talking about volunteering for some church ministry. I'm talking about considering one another and what does that look like. I'm not talking about going and volunteering your time for a certain church ministry. Please, if that's what you're hearing, you're not hearing what this text is trying to teach. This text is trying to teach, how do I consider those around me? And what gifts have God given me that I can use to help strengthen this body, one another? How can I be a blessing to the person sitting next to me? That can happen in many ways, whether that's through security, greeting. Maybe you're a tradesman. I love doing trade work. Maybe God can use that to bless not just this building, please don't hear that, but somebody in the church that needs you to come by and fix a door. Help around the house because they're a widow. There's a lot of things we can do when we consider one another. I love as this text goes on and it continues this to love and to good works. See, love, when we consider the word love, it is a natural movement towards something. Love will eventually move. There's an action attributed to it. Oftentimes our world describes love as a feeling. Yes, sure. But authentic, genuine love is rooted in action. It's rooted. Jesus loved us. He didn't stay in heaven and say, hey, I love you. I'm just going to stay up here where it's comfortable. No, he showed his love. He demonstrated his love that he came to this earth as flesh. He came near to his people. He demonstrated his love by ultimately standing on the cross and being persecuted and shedding his blood because he wants you to know he loves you. It is an action he took to demonstrate that love. And so listen, when we say we love one another, there should be an action that is motivated behind it. Love does act, it does give, it carries burden, it serves each other. Paul describes this, and I won't go into the text, but in Ephesians 4, Paul describes the body. And he says this in verse 12. This is really a call to the leaders, those in the leadership position of church. The call is that they are to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Then down in verse 15 of that same chapter in Ephesians, it says this, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. When we claim Christ as our Lord, we are called, as Paul says, to demonstrate his character, to demonstrate his behavior, not just to a stranger, but especially to one another, to each other. Look at this as he continues this. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, this is through Christ, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, he makes the body grow. Look at this next phrase. So that it builds itself up in love. Man, it's really hard. I'm not trying to be critical and I'm not trying to be hard. It's really hard to love somebody you're not willing to get to know. Isn't that true? It's really hard to love somebody you're not willing to get to know. Listen, I want you to understand that we were not just saved to sit in a seat. As Paul says it in Ephesians 4, he says we were saved into a body. We were saved into, we would call it a family, a one another. This should radically change how we think about serving and what it looks like to engage with the body and to help. I'm not saying you need to go sign up for a ministry, but I want you to do what Hebrews chapter 10 is saying here. Consider one another. What does it look like to stir someone up to love and to good works? That could be serving on the greeting team, being a part of the band or production, working in our kids' ministry. Man, they always need help. It could be serving with students or engaging with young adults, college-age students. It could be leading a growth community. All of those things are good things. But the ultimate element here that I want you to not lose sight of is this. It's not just about signing up for some ministry team. The question I want you to engage with, man, who am I stirring up to go and draw near to God? Who am I stirring and provoking to move towards the love of Jesus, the good works of Jesus? What am I doing to engage and promote the body to pursue the character and the behavior of Jesus? That can look like a lot of different things. That could be taking a meal to somebody who's hurting. That could be sitting with somebody in a hospital or in a nursing home. That could be calling up somebody and saying, hey, you want to get coffee? Maybe you're a mature believer. Maybe you call up somebody that's just walked in the faith and, hey, listen, I know there's going to be a lot of questions you may have in the scripture. Can we get coffee? I would love to help show you and answer maybe some of the questions you have as you're engaging with Jesus. Maybe you help carry someone else's burden they're walking through, so they know they're not walking it alone. I hate to say this, and I'm really not trying to be critical. I really am. Today's supposed to be an uplifting, encouraging message. I hope you will sense that. But sometimes I think we look at church like we look at a theater. Sometimes I think in a theater, you have a stage, you have performers. There are those who buy the ticket, they come in, they sit down, they observe. They'll evaluate it. They'll leave. And if the performance was good, well, maybe they'll come back. Listen, if this is our perspective of the church, let me just say this, it cannot be our perspective of how the church is supposed to function. Because here's the reality, if the church is a theater, then the band, those who serve, the kids director, they're the ones doing the ministering. And if you're just walking in, sitting, and then turning around and leaving, you're consuming. You're the consumer. And God calls his people to be on mission. It's Matthew 28, go. This is where we get reach, gather, grow from. We are called to be on mission. Here in the words of Hebrews, we are called to consider one another, to stir one another up to love and to good works. Let us consider, let us stir, let us encourage. Paul says, when each part is working properly. So how are you using the gift God has given you to strengthen and encourage and stir up the body? This isn't about what position do I have. This is about what am I doing to encourage? What am I doing to help someone move towards love and to good works? Verse 25, oftentimes verse 25 is preached as go to church more. I'm going to be very honest with you. Verse 25 without verse 24 can easily become just go to church more. Verse 25 says, do not neglect to meet together as is the habit of some. Why should we not neglect gathering with each other? Because verse 24 just commanded us to consider one another. Verse 24 just told us to stir one another, to love one another, to move one another. Even in verse 25, in the next sentence, it says, encourage one another. Listen, I want you to understand, God's not looking for an attendance record. He's really not. That's not what I'm talking about. I don't want you to fill the seat so I feel better. This isn't a pastoral, you know, get more bodies in the seat type of message. No, that's not at all what this is. You're not going to lose points if you miss out on a Sunday. Okay? You're not. But I need you to understand that God has designed your faith as a follower of Christ to live that faith out among his people, with each other, one another, not alone, not by yourself. As we go to this, I love that this is where it ends and this is where it takes us. He says, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day draw near. Notice what he didn't say. As the day approaches, withdraw from everybody. He didn't say that, though that might be our tendencies. You know, listen, as the world becomes more and more difficult, notice he didn't say this, go isolate yourself. That's not what he says. He says actually the exact opposite. Listen, as the day draw nears, this is what he's trying to tell us. The church needs, it should be more vigilant that the church actually be the church to one another, to support each other, to encourage one another, to build each other up, to provoke, to stir up this love that we have received from God. I want you to see how beautifully these verses all connect. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us consider how to stir up one another. And it ends with verse 25, encourage one another. How do we hold fast? Yes. That passage says, because he who promises is faithful. But one of the things that God has given us, one of the helps that God has given us, is to help us, each other, remember his faithfulness through us considering one another. I want you to see it in this perspective. I want you to know this. I need you. As a pastor, I need you. When you see me down, come to me and say, hey, you doing okay? Praying for you this week. I need you to pray for me, for strength, for wisdom, for discernment. I need men, and I have them here. I can name several of them. Hey, John, you're being an idiot. Stop drifting. Get your head straight. Stop complaining. I need this. I need this in my life. But here's what Hebrews is really, I think, trying to get us to understand. Not just do I need this, and you can take those statements that I said for myself and apply them to yourself, but you need this. And what do I mean by that? I need to see how I can encourage you. Maybe you've never thought of the gathering as something that God has explicitly brought you to be a part of because you need to be here to encourage someone else. Maybe God has a purpose, a plan for you to engage with someone today or this week so that you can be the vessel by which God brings in hope and encouragement and that stirring up. Remembering that we are not just saved in a seat, but we are saved into a body is so critical. God has you here for a purpose. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, we see it so explicitly laid out for us in such a wonderful way. What is God calling us to do together? Here it says it so clearly. He says, "Let us consider one another." Let us stir one another. Let us love one another. Let us serve one another. Let us gather together with one another. And let us encourage one another. So I want to challenge you, and I hope we will be a people that say, we be a people that stirs people towards the love of Christ, the faithfulness of who God is. Following in his character and his behavior with good works, with hope, with service, encouragement, with the very confidence of who Jesus is. And as this text says, it's because the day is drawing near, and it's all the more important for us to have each other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this text. Thank you for this reminder in Scripture that you lay out for us. That we need you, yes, there is no question. But we also need each other. The reminder of your faithfulness in my life is an encouragement to someone else. And the reminder of your faithfulness in someone else's life is an encouragement to me. And that is us building each other up. That is doing what you have called us to do as the church. Lord, may we be a people who take this text seriously. May we hear your voice speak to us. When you challenge us to go engage with someone, man, we might be scared, we might be terrified. It may make us feel really uncomfortable. But Lord, let those things subside and let us walk with the confidence that we are called to build each other up, stir each other up. There is someone here, Lord, that does not know you. I pray that their hearts would open to the goodness of who you are and what you have done. Lord, let us as a people be an example of your character and your behavior. Let them see the goodness and the love of Christ in the way we engage with one another. And let that be a light that shines so very brightly, not just in this room, in our homes, but in this community. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing.